God is faithful. Thank the Lord for his servant. Gave a powerful message at our camp meeting, our virtual camp meeting. And I trust that you were blessed by the song, because God is faithful. And unfortunately, many a times we're halting and need to be faithful in doing our part and serving God with all our hearts. I want to thank the Lord for answered prayers on behalf of Sister Frieda Thornton, who's here with us. She dropped a bombshell on us last week, and we've been praying for you, Sister Frieda, all week, and we thank God that you could join us in worship today. May the Lord continue to be with you and to be your guide and to give you strength day by day. We're praying also for Brother Francis Colby, who is in the hospital. I called, but I couldn't get him. And the last report was from his wife. So let's continue to pray for Brother Francis and Sister Estelle Colby. And there are many, many other prayer requests that have gone up on behalf of the our family members, our friends, our co-workers, our children. And God hears all those prayers. And the lesson brought out this morning that yes, God answers and he hears and he answers our prayers, but there are times when there's a delay, as it seems, but God is working out his purpose. And so I want to encourage us with this this message this morning, that there is a better day coming after a while. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be next week, but a better day is coming. And what better place to find encouragement is than in the Word of God? Because what is written, what has been written, is for our learning and for our understanding, that we through patience and faith may have the blessed hope. And so I was encouraged by this story, and I'm going to read. Want to thank Elder Samier and thank you, Elder Johnson, for leading out in our worship this morning. And as we continue our worship, may the Spirit of God be with us. So let's bow our heads as we invite again the Holy Spirit to be the teacher this morning. Holy Spirit, thank you for another opportunity to lift high your name. May your people be edified and may your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. The story is about a leper. Back then, leprosy was the COVID-19. Now, and the Bible story tells us that there's a better day that came after a while this character was still on earth. And so though we mourn today, though we grieve the loss of our brother, though we grieve those of our loved ones who are sick and going through difficulties, the promise is that there is going to be a better day after a while. And so let's look at 2 Kings chapter 5, the story for our thought this morning to encourage our hearts. I'm going to read it to you in the clear word. It says, Naaman was a commander of the Syrian army under King Ben-Hadad II. He was highly respected because he was a brave soldier, and the Lord had used him to punish Israel by giving him many victories. Can you imagine that? God used King Ben-Hadad to punish Israel, who was God's people. And he had many victories, but he had the beginning signs of leprosy. In one of the Syrian raids on Israel, Naaman's men carried off a young girl who became his wife's servant. One day she said to her mistress, I wish my master would go to see the Lord's prophet in Samaria. He cured him of his leprosy. When Naaman came home, his wife told him what the girl had said. So he went to see the king and asked him what he should do. The king said, "By all means, go. I'll send a letter of introduction along with you to give to the king of Israel." So Naaman left and took with him 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of fine clothes. The letter from Ben-Hadad to Jehoram, king of Israel, reads, "I am sending one of my officers to you to be healed of his leprosy. His name is Naaman, and he'll tell you more about himself." When the king of Israel read the letter, he was so upset, and he tore his robe and said, "Does Ben-Hadad think that I'm God? Does it look like I have the power of life and death? Why is he sending me this leper? Is he trying to use this as an excuse to pick a fight with me?" Elijah heard about it, and so he sent a message to King Jehoram. "Why has the king of Israel torn his robe? Send the man to me to be healed so he can know the loving kindness of God and that there is still a prophet of the Lord in the land of Israel." So Jehoram sent Naaman to Elisha. Naaman took his horse and chariot and went to Elisha's house and stood before the door. Then the prophet sent his servant out to tell him to go and wash 7 times in the Jordan River, and his skin would be restored, and he would be healed. And finally, verse 7:11 says, "But Naaman felt insulted and said to himself, 'I thought the man would at least come out to see me, pray his God, wave his hand over the disease spots and heal me. But all he did was ask me to dip in the little Jordan River.'" What a story. That story is filled with lessons for us as we deal with this COVID-19. The Jordan was the vaccine that our scientists and our doctors are looking for this COVID-19. God has the remedy for what ails us individually, for what ails us as a church, and for what ails this nation. Naaman, by the report of the captive slave maid, goes to Syria to be cured of his leprosy. Elisha sends him to the Jordan to cure him. What a story. That would have made the headlines if somebody gets cured. If I had something special that we could cure our brother, Brother Lockhart, everybody would be at your door trying to find out, what is it? Can I get some? You see, Syria was often at war with Israel, but this was evidently a period of peace. The narrative reveals the changing fortunes of the nations and gives an interesting picture of the international relationships and the customs of the times. Has anything changed? I suspect not. We still have similar geopolitical feuds. Today, it's Russia, and more frequently, China and the U.S. They're in a war of words. And the nations are angry. Embassies are being closed, and there's a tit for tat. They're killing soldiers on the border between China and India. And the nations are still angry. A mighty important man, Naaman, lived in Syria. He had gained honor and fame by the victories that he had helped Syria achieve. But he had the fortune of being a old-time COVID-19 positive general. However, it says he retained his position as commander of the Syrian army, although he must have been seriously handicapped by the terrible disease with which he was afflicted, and he had to be quarantined, I imagine. You see, there were frequent border skirmishes conducted by bands of soldiers, and they usually is carried out as a purpose of plundering and stealing the neighbor's wealth and people. Recently, I saw on the news where North Korea had taken a group of South Koreans, and they had been pleading for them to send them back. And one of the fathers, after years of pleading for his daughter to return, he eventually died an old man with his daughter never coming back. And so there's nothing new under the sun. Nations are angry with one another, and God used Syria to rebuke his very own people. War is cruel. Slavery is even worse. A little girl who should have been with her family had been carried away from her home and was now in the enemy's camp, seemingly forsaken by God and without comfort or hope. You see, life seems to have for her little good, and she might have become bitter if she had allowed herself to center her thoughts on herself and on her unhappy plight. Even in an alien land, God had a service for her to perform. She waited on the general's wife. What a place to be. She could be a good spy in the house of Naaman and pass secrets. But the little girl was living the life of a slave. And many of our ancestors, my heart bled as I saw the story of a woman who had testified before Congress of her life in Alabama. It's called the Black Belt, where the slaves lived and served and picked cotton and existed on very little. The impact of slavery is still with us today. And we see it in the numbers of deaths, even in this little town where this dear lady died. She lived in a trailer, and they charged her well over $100,000 for a trailer that was falling apart. And she died of COVID. And the family was lamenting. In that part of Alabama, the death rate is highest, higher than the population in proportion to the Black population. And so we see the effects of poverty. We see the effects of slavery. Even today, we are feeling the impact of it. And this little captive slave girl, while in slavery, living the life of a slave, forced to serve away from her family, she did not forget. She did not forget her roots. She did not forget her homeland. She did not forget her God. Nor did she think thoughts of ill will towards those who had taken her captive and forced her into involuntary servitude. Filled with love towards God, her heart went out in sympathy to her ailing master and his wife. And instead of wishing Naaman ill because of the misfortunes that had been brought upon her, she wished him well and hoped for his recovery and for this terrible disease to go away. And so she remembered the marvelous works of Elisha in her homeland. She had faith that the prophet could heal Naaman of his leprosy. what God had accomplished through his servant in Israel, she believed he could also perform a miracle towards those of another nation. You see, brothers and sisters, there's only one race, the human race. And as we learned in Sabbath school this morning, that there is a war that's going on. And we think we are each other's enemy, but we're not. The fight is between Jesus and Satan. And we're caught in the middle. We're the casualties. And so not only at the young slave girl's testimony of faith, created confidence in the commander of the Syrian army, but it also created a measure of faith in the heart of King Ben-Hadad, Syria's king. You see, faith begets faith, and love begets love. Faith is an ever-widening circle that goes out from the heart, from heart to heart, and from land to land, until it encompasses the whole globe. If the nations could come together in this time of common destruction and learn to cooperate together, what a testimony it would be. But alas, Satan is trying to gain the one-upmanship on us. When we're divided and we're quarreling and fussing and feuding, he gets the glory. And so only eternity can measure the result of that testimony of confidence in Israel's God, borne by the captured slave girl before her mistress in an alien land. And so we as ancestors, are children of our ancestors who were slaves brought over from 1619, we've been coming. Millions of people have come and have experienced what it is to be in a strange land. And we're in a strange land. But brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us that a better day came for that young girl, and a better day will come for each of us. We just have to trust God and by faith claim his promises. And so I'm encouraged. I'm not discouraged. I'm no way tired, because I know God is going to see us through this. There are very important lessons for us to learn through the trials. It's not only in the good times that we find hope and healing, but it is in the tough times. And so lessons can be learned from this young girl. And I hope that we'll take these to heart. The way that she conducted herself in a heathen's home is a strong witness to the power of early training. And I thank God for that early training that I received as a child. There is no higher trust that can be committed to fathers and mothers than to care for and train their children. You see, we have the eyes of time to see the effects of right training and what wrong training does. Parents have to form the very foundation of habit and character in their children. First, if you don't have it as a parent, you're not going to be able to transmit it to your children. By our example and teaching, the future of our children is largely decided. Happy are the parents whose lives are a true reflection of the divine, so that the promises and the commands of God awaken in the child gratitude and reverence. Parents whose tenderness and justice and long-suffering interpret to the child the love and justice and long-suffering of God, and who, by teaching the child to love and trust and obey them, are teaching him or her to love, trust, and obey their Father in heaven. So parents, that's the most important work. We are to impart to our children this gift. We must endow them with a treasure more precious than the wealth of all the ages, a treasure of enduring eternity. So it's no good leaving them money if you don't leave them with Jesus. Leave them, show them Jesus. We know not in what line our children may be called to serve. They may spend their lives within the circle of the home. They may engage in life's common vocation or go as teachers of the gospel to the heathen lands. But all are alike called to be missionaries for God, ministers of mercy to the world. They are to obtain an education that will help them to stand by the side of Christ in unselfish service, says the servant of the Lord. She goes on to say, the parents of the Hebrew maid, as they taught her of God, did not know the destiny that would be hers, but they were faithful to their trust. And in the home of the captain of the Syrian general, commander, their child bore witness to the God who she learned to honor and to obey. Praise God. And so, brothers and sisters, a better day was to come, but after a while. You see, Naaman was not asking for healing without being willing to pay the medical expenses. Not being acquainted with Israel's prophet and Israel's God, he brought with him sufficient money, treasure, to make the work of the prophet worthwhile. He was going to give him a handsome reward. Little did he realize that the Lord would be willing to heal him and wanted neither silver nor gold in return. God doesn't need our money. I thank you, Brother Johnson, for sharing the faithfulness of the people of Pisgah. In giving, as Sister Dorsey says, you're generous in helping others. Thank you. But God doesn't need it. He needs to break the selfishness in us. And that's why he asks us to give. So thank you for blessing yourself by your faithfulness. A little did he know that Elisha served God and his fellow man not from a spirit of worldly gain, but for the good that he might be able to do. And so in those days, money was not in coins or paper. Bars of gold and silver went by weight, and a talent of silver was equivalent to about 75 pounds. So it was a lot of gold and silver and garments that he took. 6,000 shekels or 2 talents of gold. And the weight of that gold is equivalent to about $55,000 in today's money. This shows only the worth of the money today, but back then, can you imagine how much that would purchase? The king of Syria evidently thought that the prophet, who was reputed to accomplish much miracles, was a member of a religious order under the control of the state and at the command of the king. You see, God's servants are not under the command of political leaders. And so we have to be very careful when we spout what political leaders are saying, because we have a higher leader. We're not aligned to the Democrat Party or the Republican Party. We're aligned with God. And so let's be careful in this season of divisiveness, that we remember that we're not under the control of one party. We're under the control of the King of Kings. And so we must speak the truth. Whenever we see wrong or wherever we see it, we've got to say it. Not for fear or for favor. You see, leprosy was regarded as a living death. And the king of Israel realized that this was a disease that only God could cure. And it was beyond his faith in God to believe that man could be used as an instrument in the hand of the Lord to restore anyone stricken with such a disease as this. This is the king of Israel. He's on the Lord's side, but he did not have the faith to trust God. He did not have the relationship that he needed. And hence, the leader, the political leader of Israel, because of his disobedience and his lack of faith and listening to the servant of God, he allowed Israel to get punished time and time again. Instead of seeing in the request of Ben-Hadad an opportunity for the revelation of the wonderful power of God, the king of Israel looked only at the darker side of the picture. And so often when things happen to us, we only see the dark side of it. And we pray that the Lord will release us from the stress that we're in. But while we're in the stress, God is trying to work something out in us. And that's what he was trying to work out in the king of Israel and in the Syrians, to know that he is a God that we can trust. And so the question that I want us to answer is, can we see the brighter side of COVID? Do we see any good in what has happened to us? That we're distant from each other, we have to worship by Zoom, that we can't all go to Brother Lockhart's funeral? Well, I see a better day coming after a while. And so while we're in this mode, I want to hear the voice of God. When there is stress in your life, ask God to teach us what the lessons are that we need to learn, and not just keep praying for the problem to go away, because guess what? If we don't learn the lessons well, the problem will come again. And so he thought the letter from the Syrian king could not have been written in good faith. This is the king of Israel. But he saw it as a pretext for seeking a quarrel against him. He probably imagined that Ben-Hadad had intentionally sent a request with which it was impossible to comply in order that he might use it as an occasion or a pretext for war, rather than to think of the Lord or his prophet Elisha. Jehoram thought only of himself and his inability to deal with the situation. Yes, we are faced with insurmountable challenges, but we can't trust ourselves. We got to trust in the God who can solve problems. And so how the news of the arrival of Naaman at Jehoram's court reached Elisha, it's not recorded. But God was directing events so as to reward the faith of the Syrian captain. What Jehoram looked upon as a catastrophe, Elisha regarded as an opportunity. What the king of Israel could not accomplish, the prophet would be happy to undertake with the help of God. And so while the king was filled with despair, the prophet looked upward with hope. In hours of difficulties and perplexities, it pays, brothers and sisters, to remember that there's a God in heaven who looks down in love and mercy upon his frail earthly children. And that's who we are. We have to acknowledge our frailty, and our trust in God will become stronger, because our money can't help us. Our medicines, the doctors can't help us now. They are at a loss. 4 million people have been infected with leprosy in the United States of America. With all its medical technology, all its smart people, they don't have an answer. You see, Jehoram feared, but Elijah welcomed the visit of the commander of Syria. The king had for Naaman no encouraging message and no word of hope. But Elijah asked that he come to him in order to find healing, not just for the physical, but for the restoration of his soul. And so when we are sick, there's more to it. We shouldn't just pray for the fixing of our bodies. We need fixing from the heart. And so the church of God must be the harbor of hope during COVID for our neighbors in Bryan's Road, in Indian Head, in Waldorf, in Clinton, in Fort Washington, in Upper Marlboro, and all throughout the DMV. Wherever we live, we must give them hope. And I'm so encouraged to hear Sister Letha Walker's testimony that she, when she goes to the store, she just doesn't pack her mask. She carries a tract in her bag, and she doesn't fling the tract at people. She talks to them before she gives them. Praise God for you. Thank God for your testimony and your example. And so the prophet was anxious that Naaman become acquainted with the love and power of Israel's God, and that he take back to his own people a message of comfort concerning the hope that all might have in God, the God of Israel. And so the home of every child of God should be a haven of rest to all who are in need. Praise God. So your neighbor across the road, every time we look out our window and we see our neighbor, I reach out, I talk to her. We've been reaching out to her all these years. But you know, people are sometimes struggling with issues and they don't want to hear about your God. But be persistent. Continue to show love. Continue to reach out. Don't give up. Don't give in. Wait on the Lord. And so that's what our home should be, a little Pisgah everywhere we are, where we're reaching out to people, loving them and telling them about this God that we serve. And so the attendants of Naaman rode on horses, but Naaman himself rode in a chariot. The house of Elisha was a humble house. This was not the palace of a king. But in this home, Naaman was to find something that the king's palace could not offer. The humble gate to the prophet's home was to Naaman a door to life and to hope. And that's what our homes ought to be in our neighborhood. We ought to be a beacon of light in a dark place for our neighbors. That when they're wringing their hands trying to figure out what's going on, people are panicked now. Serious. Marriages are in trouble. We ought to be able to point to our relationships and say, because of this pandemic, I've gotten closer to Hazel than ever before. We pray morning, noon, and night together. Pray for one another. Pray for our children. Pray for our brothers and sisters, that out of this, our faith will become stronger, not weaker, not panic because we're afraid of dying. We're going to die. There's no doubt about it. But how do we die? What condition will our relationship be in with God and our fellow men? So as he comes to the humble abode of the servant of God, the servant of God doesn't even go out to give him any time. No FaceTime. He sends his servant and says, go wash in the Jordan. These directions to Naaman brings to mind the command of Jesus to the blind man in John chapter 9, verse 7. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. In both instances, a command was given that tests the faith of the recipient. God is telling us something, brothers and sisters. In this time, we have been careless in our relationship with God and one another. And it's time to repent. It's time to change. Stop going in the direction that we were heading in and turn and follow God. Go wash. Ask for a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Only in implicit obedience would healing be found. The waters of Jordan were to be Naaman the water of healing and life. There is wisdom in obeying the commands of God. And so Naaman had his own thoughts, but these were not the thoughts of God. He had heard of a man who could cure him of his leprosy, and immediately he came to his own conclusions as to exactly how this should and would be accomplished. We have our scenario of what's going to happen in the end time, and we follow a lot of rumors. And we hold those up, but God has a way of doing things that we have no idea. He made a plan of his own. And then he expected that God would work according to that plan. But man's preconditions as to what should be the Lord's mode of action is always often erroneous. When we map out beforehand the path of providence, we may expect disappointments. God chose to lead Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, by a passage through the Red Sea. But that was not the thought of man. God allowed our ancestors to come to this land in 1619 to save America. Absolutely. We're here to save America. All that our people have been through, God has been gracious and merciful. And if we abandon him now, we're not going to make it. We can't use violence. We got to use God's method. God's method alone will bring true success. And so God sent his son to be born in a stable, a cradle in a manger. But that was not according to the ideas of the great and mighty men of earth. God had his son live among men as a servant to those in need. But that was not in accordance with the thoughts of the Jews concerning who the Messiah should be and how he should come. And those who would be saved and walk in the ways of the Lord must learn that God's ways are infinitely higher and better than our ways, according to Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. And so, a better day. I want to encourage us that there'll be a better day. I'm going to trade all my troubles in for a lifetime of smiles. I'll forget how hard it's been to run these last few miles. And when Jesus says to me, "Welcome home, my child," all the bitter heartaches here will surely be worthwhile for a better day after a while. You see, the writer of this song, Eleanor Wright, wrote the song from her experience. Last time I spoke to you, I encouraged you to raise Ebenezer's markers to show you how far God has brought you. Eleanor did not escape the difficulties of Satan's attack, neither will we. She was devastated when she lost her mentor and friend, Dale Wright, in 1953 in a car accident. And for a while, she received no more messages, no more songs in the night. Finally, God gave her a new song. You see, why I resonate with this song is that it encourages me. And I hope that it will encourage you also. You see, Eleanor Wright was born the same year that my mother was born, 1926. And I resonate with her story very well. She was again devastated when she lost her sister-in-law and her close friend, Audrey Dickerson, in a five-car accident. They lived in Ohio, and it snows up there, and the road gets icy. I lived in Michigan for a while, and I know what it's like when it gets icy on the road, in the ditch many a times. Eleanor's voice again was silent for a while as she grieved the loss of her best friend, her mentor, and cousin. It seemed like the devil had taken away the joy and the song out of her heart. But soon God gave her a new song, a song of victory. And there are times when we have to cry a while. We have to regroup and come back strong. Songs helped her come through the worst trials victoriously. And it enabled her to praise God and give him the glory. So what we're going through now, we ought to come out stronger and better. Not bitter, but better. Some people may call my songs, she says, gospel. But I sing what I call message music. Music that ministers to everyday needs. My songs are of experience. I want to try to touch the soul, she says. Many of her songs describe a struggle, the Christian struggle, or the Black experience in the struggles for equality. Our ancestors, they wrote the spirituals, and they resonate when we sing them. But always, there's a message of hope, of deliverance through Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, when you struggle, remember the words of this song. She ends the song by singing, I'm gonna ride on a rainbow road, travel down the Milky Way. I'm gonna live in a land where there is no more rent to pay, hallelujah. No more snow, praise God. No more rain. One long, clear summer day. I'm waiting for the coming of day when I will fly away. Gonna be a better day after a while, child of God. There'll be a better day after a while. Can you raise your hand with me and say, thank you, Lord, for this message of hope that there's gonna be a better day. And I wanna trust you. I wanna have faith in your promises that you who took Naaman through his COVID experience will bring me through by his grace. But perchance he allows me to sleep like Brother Lockhart. I'm looking forward to the second coming of Jesus when this mortal shall put on immortality and we shall be changed by his grace. Would you say praise God? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the promise. Thank you for the better day that's coming. Help me to live in this present world with faith, not complaining, belly aching about the trials that I have to go through, but to trust God that he will see me through to the end. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the hands that have been raised. We thank you for the resolution of the hearts that we're gonna press through these difficult days by your grace. For there is a better day. You're gonna cleanse us of the leprosy and the COVID-19 of sin. And you're gonna clean us up and make us bright for your kingdom, brand new for your kingdom, that you've gone to prepare a place for us, and that you will come again. Save us at last in your eternal kingdom. Keep us faithful even through the trials. In the precious name of Jesus, I ask it. Amen.